Proverbs chapter 18.
Yeah, you never know when to bring that up, do you? I understand that. Proverbs chapter 18, I'll give you the verse when I get to that. We sang What a Friend We Have in Jesus because my theme tonight is, oh no. No, that's not my theme. I had a handout of a poem that I read on Monday that prompted me to preach this message. I made copies to hand out to you. And
where did you find it? Maybe we could real quick.
Oh yeah, here. I do have mine. So
all right, let's make copies.
How many families do you think we have? Thank you, Pastor.
All right.
He's in rare form tonight. Anyway, this poem that I will pass out to you is about friends. I trust you'll like the poem, and I realize when I hand things out like that, many of them just end up in the trash can. I'm not offended by that. I understand life. But if just one or two people find that poem helpful, and stick it maybe in their Bible or wherever you put important things of that sort, I will really thank the Lord that just one or two got help from. Okay? So I'm not anticipating that everybody's going to sleep with that under your pillow, okay? I didn't, and I don't think you will. A good friend is extremely valuable.
That's right.
It is very possible that not many people here tonight have a true friend. Oh, many have friendly people, but I'm talking about that one or two people that can be confided in. A person who keeps a true confidence. You can tell a friend something in private and you won't hear about it in church the next Sunday. It just stays with that person. My wife, Pat, was that kind of person. And I remember after her passing, I got a text. And it said, who am I going to confide in now? We need to be that kind of person. A person who keeps a confidence, a person who, even if you're wrong in a matter, they remain true to you. While not condoning the wrong you've done, they don't forsake you. Thank you, Pastor. Now, listen to me. You don't need to watch them pass out papers.
Right.
I want to ask you two questions. First of all, do you have such a friend? Okay. Now, my wife was that kind of friend, but I'm not talking about our spouse. Okay. I'm talking about somebody other than your spouse. Do you have such a friend? Are you such a friend? Proverbs chapter 18, as I said. And we're going to look at verse 24. Familiar verse. And thank you, Pastor, for that copying. And you fellows for passing them out. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, at this point, I want to simply say life is a two-way street. And I'll talk more about that. But it's important that we recognize indeed about friends and how important it is that we have a friend and that we are that kind of friend. Now the poem that I passed out is talking about, just as it begins, I have a friend in Jesus. He's walking near to share my every burden and take away my every fear. And Jesus is that kind of friend. And I have learned how significant he is as my friend since August 3rd, when he took Jesus, when he took Pat to be with Jesus. And it was good. And when I miss her, I get choked up. And I, you know how I get my composure? I thank him for taking her. She has no more pain, no more suffering. Okay? She has no more fatigue. And I thank him. Then I usually remind him something he knows. And I said, but Lord, I need your help. And you know what? He gives it. He gives it because just as this poem says, he is a friend who walks with us. He not only takes away our fears, but he bears our burdens. In the very last stanza says, if you are lonely on life's way and feel that no one cares. You know, there's a scripture verse that I read, and it talks about no man cared for my soul. Now, there's other verses in that particular, I think it's Psalm, and they help me and apply to me. But when I came to that one, I said, Lord, this doesn't describe me. I have so many people that care for me and care about me. From neighbors, okay, to individuals that I know, like when I worked at the library, that still communicate. But mostly, you, my church family. I'm not alone. And God has given, brought into my life some special people. Now, why has he done that? Because he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Jesus is indeed a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. We need a friend we can talk with, to whom we can share important matters. Now, when I say important, it doesn't have to be the world's biggest thing. Okay? Just something that happened that's important to you. Oh, you won't believe it. Bethany pulled herself up by herself and stood at the sofa. Now, that's important to Charity. She needs to be able to call somebody and say that too. And I imagine Chelsea hears it and Mom hears it. Okay? And but things that are important to us. It might be to a fellow that who doesn't do much with cars, but for whatever reason, he decided he's going to try and take care of this problem. And it worked. It worked. You know, a man ought to be able to have somebody that he can text or call and say, guess what? Such and such happened.
Right.
And I fixed it.
Amen.
Now, you know, there's too many other men that was, yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. A friend will listen. It's important to a friend. And so we all need a friend. And that, you know, there in the beginning of that verse, a man that hath friends, or would have friends, is how I read that, must show himself friendly. The Lord brought it to mind today, Roger, when it says must show himself friendly. It's using friendly in a different way than saying if a man wants to have friends, you must be congenial. You must care about people. You must be kind. Because that's, if you look up a definition of friendly, that's what you'll find. But I believe what this is telling is not that if you want to have friends, you've got to be kind and caring. I mean, you ought to be that. But I believe it's saying if you want to have friends, you need to be a friend.
That's right.
Right.
I think that's the meaning of it. I only saw that today. Whenever I read it, I just thought, well, you got to be nice, you got to be happy, you got to be the kind of person that somebody would want to be a friend with. Well, yeah, sure, we should do that. But if you want to have friends, then you got to be a friend. Sure. And you can't sit back. You can't sit back and wait for somebody to come along that wants to be your friend.
Right.
Sometimes when people start attending a church, they look around, they're there a few weeks, and so they observe some people, and they get in their mind that they'd like to be friends with so-and-so. They'd like to be friends with that one. They'd like to have a relationship with this one. The better thing to do is to pray, God, who would you want me to be a friend to? Because God has people in mind that it's good for that new person to get it connected with. And so, John chapter 15, the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. How did he love us? Sacrificially. And that's how we need to love others. Okay, that's how we need to love others. Again, if we're just expecting others to always put out for us. You know, some people are high maintenance. Yeah. I mean, nice people and they're great to, you know, to have an interaction with, but they're high maintenance. And after you've given out, you need to go home and you need to sit down and you take a deep breath. Okay? And that's really more of a ministering to somebody.
Sure. Yep.
Okay?
Come on, Peter,
that's right. And I mean, that's needed.
Come on now.
But, you know, all right. Now, so there he says in verse 12, this is my commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. That's sacrificially. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And we know that Jesus laid down his life for us. That's how he loved us. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Now, we can apply that to us. Somebody is our friend if. If what? That's what this message is about. Listen up and you'll know the answer to the if. And so then he goes on and he says, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. So Jesus is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. What a friend we have in Jesus, because that's the relationship he has with us. If you were another person, would you like to be a friend of yours?
Come on. How about that?
It's Curtis Hudson who said, he was a previous editor of The Sword of the Lord years back. He said, and I quote, during a tough time in life, someone said to me, you've lost a friend, haven't you? And I replied, no, I've simply discovered an enemy. If he were my friend, he would still be my friend.
That's a good breath.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what situation came to mind? Pastor has illustrated that there is someone, and I don't know who, and I don't need to know, but someone who broke fellowship with him over a teaching or an approach he has. Well, that's a shame. He lost a friend. No, I won't call such an individual an enemy, but I will say he wasn't a friend. Because if somebody's a friend, you may not agree with something they say or something the approach they take or how they believe in something, but you don't abandon a friend. Just like I said back on page one, okay? Sounds like Cole Harvey, doesn't it? you may not agree with somebody, but if they're a friend, you don't abandon them. You don't forsake them. As a matter of fact, if they're a friend, you will talk with them. And you don't condone. You don't have to condone the wrong that a friend has done, but you still remain as their friend. Mm-hmm. You see why now I say that there really aren't a whole lot of people that have a friend? We are on the wrong track when we think of friendship as something we get rather than something we give.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
You give first. That's, I believe, if a man would have friends, let himself show himself a friend.
Right.
Let him give to others. Or if they don't give back. You see? Now you're looking to get something. No, you just give.
Right.
And you might give to three or four people before God then brings. You see, we want to take God out of the picture. You may give to three or four people before God brings along someone then to be your friend. We give ourselves. We give ourselves not tangible things like gifts, though they may be involved. But what makes a good friendship is when we give ourselves. It is a heart, a spirit matter. Words may be used, but it's more a sense of something. It's a felt thing. Felt. Not just in the sense of emotions, but felt in the sense of an inner awareness. I have a situation where I've seen that happen. Was always congenial, always friendly in the sense of being kind and interactive. But in the last 2, maybe 3 at the most months, I've sensed a different spirit. Yeah. And my, is that so satisfying.
Good.
You know, nothing was said. And, you know, men don't say things like that anyway. You know, a woman might go up and say something like that, but a man doesn't go up to another man and say, you know, I've been thinking about you and I really like you. You know, what? We as a man are likely to say, don't get horny. But I have sensed something additional to what was there. Yeah, it is. Boy, I'll tell you, it's so satisfying. Now, Proverbs chapter 17. We were in 18. Now we'll go to 17. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17. A friend loveth at all times. Okay, things aren't going right. As a matter of fact, a friend makes some dumb choices. Well, you aren't going to stop loving them. A friend loves at all times. And a brother is born for adversity. Listen, when a friend makes a poor choice, when a friend does something dumb, that's when he needs you.
Sure.
That's when he needs a friend.
Yes, indeed.
A brother is born for adversity. What we have in too many relationships is a fair weather friend. As long as things are going the way they like, as long as things are going as they agree with, everything's peachy fine. But let you take a different approach to something, fair weather friends, they irritate me. I'm serious. Life's too short to put up with that kind of foolishness.
Yeah.
There's too many needs in the church and amongst God's people for that kind of foolishness.
Yes.
Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times, in the good and in the not good. When I'm pleasant and when I'm not pleasant. Now listen, don't take advantage of a person that's a friend. Yes, you can let your hair down. You can be more natural with them like you are with family and not be false, okay? I mean, listen, when I'm here at church, yeah, I put on my church conduct.
Sure.
Okay, I don't pick my seat when I'm here. When I'm at home, I might. When I'm at home, there's some bodily functions that might happen that I refrain from here. Now, am I being a phony when I'm here? No, there's church conduct. I mean, just like we tell kids, okay, you're in church, so you need to put on your church conduct. Meaning, you don't run, you don't jump, you don't walk in the pews and all of that kind of stuff. And so, a friend loveth at all times. A brother is born for adversity. In the book of Colossians, going back to the New Testament, the book of Colossians, I'm going to read in chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, I'm going to begin reading at verse 12. Colossians 3:12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. He didn't talk about friendship there. No, but should not friends live like that with each other?
Yeah.
Of course they should. Now, God widens it to include all of us in the church family. But hey, just two people. They're both believers. That's how they ought to think of each other and relate to each other. And that's why this matter of the friendship, it's a giving relationship, not just a getting. And if you're just looking for what you get out of a relationship, you go, well, I would never do that. Oh, beans, you wouldn't. Might that be the reason why you don't have the friends that you complain to God about not having? You're thinking, well, who does he know that's like that? I don't have to know a particular person because I don't know a particular person, but I've been around long enough to know that sort of thing goes on.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yep.
So in good theological preacher terms, hey, bud. Bud Winna. That's a female version of Bud. Suck it up and get in line with the Bible.
Okay.
You say, why do you talk like that? Because most everything else goes right over. How many people miss it because that's what they're expecting to hear?
Mm.
But you come across with some of these crude terms.
Come on.
You get people's attention with that because that's how they talk. Oh, not all of you. There are exceptions. Some of you are so genteel that I admire and respect. And you take John Mark there. I mean, there couldn't be a higher gentleman than what he is. Hey, listen, let me tell you this about John Mark. Since they've gotten married, I've had occasion to observe him. be a little aware of some things. He is turning out to be a great husband.
Amen. How about that?
He is stepping up and turning out to be a great husband. You might not have thought that, you know, when he was single and just coming in here in his, have you seen how he dresses when he comes to church now?
That's how she dresses.
I know
you're dressing. That's very nice, brother.
I was getting to that. I know the source of all of this.
Don't put it on me.
But,
she's a good husband.
But as far as the kind of husband I'm observing, that is on John.
Good.
I'm doing good.
Amen.
You say, well, why do you single somebody out like that? Why not?
Right.
Why not? Do we only lambast people from the pulpit? Yeah. It seems like that's how it is. You say, well, what do you have to say about my husband? Yeah. Colossians, that's how we ought to have the kind of friendships we ought to have. Last page. The attitude of one who is a true friend can be read in Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. And I'm going to read the last half of verse 3. The first half is good, but for my purposes, I'm starting with the last half of Philippians 2:3. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. In a friendship, consider the other person more important. Now look, your whole old nature that is like my old nature is going to naturally do different. Instinctively, you're going to think of yourself. It just happens. Don't despair. Don't go out and kill yourself over it. But it is the old nature causes us to think of self. And that's why Paul said, let each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Whenever my old nature leads me in the direction of not looking on the things of others, praise God for the Holy Spirit. Because he'll get my attention. Sometimes he puts a guilt trip on me. How many of you remember how I used to call Mrs. Hain the Holy Spirit's helper? Well, he did. He'd use her. There were things that I'd say, you know, that I wouldn't say here. I remember one time we were having a disagreement. You spell that F-I-G-H-T. Now, we didn't throw things or hit, okay? But we were having a very vocal disagreement. And then this is how the Holy Spirit's helper dealt with it. Would you talk to a person at church like you just did to me? I mean, you talk about pulling the rug out from underneath. I mean, she not only pulled the rug out from underneath me, but she threw on top of me. The rug. So God gets my attention here. He has different ways with different people.
Yeah.
But he'll remind us when when we're not looking on the things of others. It has to do with how we think. That's why he said in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And so we have our reasons for thinking the way we do. Jesus He set them all aside. Now, he had no old nature like us. I understand that. But he was still tempted in all points like as we. And I don't believe that meant that everything that every sinner ever could do, Jesus was tempted to do. My understanding of that he was tempted in all points as we, every pressure, every influence, everything that is involved in temptation, those kinds of influences and difficulties that go with being tempted, he had that all. All right, one last passage, and then I'm almost done. Proverbs chapter 27. You know, I do not have power in prayer. I prayed again. Lord, help me to keep this thing short. So he either isn't answering that prayer and telling me it doesn't matter, which I can't believe that's the case. Anyway, chapter 27, Proverbs 27. 27:17. Iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his what?
Friend.
That's how it needs to be. Somebody that we're a friend with needs to be better because of us. Such friends may not spend a lot of time together, but they are friends because it's a matter of the heart. Now, some friends, I mean, true friends, not just people they get along with and like to do stuff with, but a true friend, some of them do things together. But not everybody who's a friend has to do something because it's a matter of the heart. And though feelings exist, such feelings aren't produced by friendship. They are the result of a special bond between people. You say, I'd sure like to have that kind of friend. Remember what God told you? Show yourself to be a friend. Don't just look to get. Look to give. And let God give you then that kind of friend.
Amen.
Father in heaven, I pray that some of these things that I shared would be of benefit to those who have heard. I thank you, Father, for how you spoke to my heart regarding this matter.
Yep.
And all we can, Father, and you know what I'm not interested in. But that thing, you just said something. Well, that's what it was, Father, because you said something.